All right. Well, if you're hearing this, it's because we decided to release the episode and the dog fight didn't happen. So fingers crossed that we get through this episode without any puppy blood on our hands.
I don't know that I could, like, props to you, John. I don't know if I could, like, podcast with, like, my kid in the other room, like, with another kid. And I was like, what if my kid does something weird? It's a lot of pressure.
I have never done a good podcast, so today's just not the day I start, is what's happening. How's your stress levels? You feel good?
No, I feel great. Yeah. I mean, Dolly gets along with everyone.
Everyone even people except that fucking you.
No, she likes Yuma. She just, yeah.
Yeah, take a picture of Dolly for posterity.
Yeah, this is what Dolly used to look like.
It's Yuma's house. It's Yuma's rules. We all live by them. Yuma has gotten a little bit more,
cunty.
Longer I've known her. Well, she certainly serves cunt, but, like,
yeah,
she's a boss bitch. And I don't know. You know, when I'm over here, she's like, hey, you're going to scratch me for 29 minutes, no less. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yes, ma'am. She says, jump. I say, how high?
Yeah. No, I'm breathing regularly. I'm not, I would say my cortisol levels are exactly where I want them to be. Uh-huh. I will not spit any of the wine today.
You're stress maxing? Is that what's going on?
So tell us about your life. How are things?
Things are great. Busy, really busy, stressful.
Mm, yeah.
Cortisol levels high.
If you're not stress maxing, then you're not doing it right. Okay.
Do they have you harvesting seafood yourself? Like, you have to go to the beach with a knife? Just, like, stab a cephalopod?
No. I mean, they did go harvesting in Pennsylvania a couple weekends ago. I really want to go foraging with them. I want to learn how to, like, forage mushrooms and different, like,
wild wood harvesting.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were like, Pennsylvania, like,
there's no
oysters.
Ocean in Pennsylvania, is there? Yeah, okay.
I'm not that dumb, am I?
Pennsylvania oysters is, like, something gross you don't want to, like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we got a bunch of wild nettles.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. What are we barking at, Dolly? Oh, you're just feeling yourself?
Yeah, feeling your wild oats.
She says that she wants to go foraging, too. Uh-huh.
She would be good at it.
She'd be a good forager.
Like a truffle pig?
I would love to take her to Piemonte. And if she's able to forage truffles, she just got so much better.
She's got that vibe. Like, I think she could put her mind to it and get it done.
Yeah, Yuma can find the most horrific things in the underbrush. Just like, oh, that's been dead for, like, a thousand years.
Yuma is wild foraging chicken bones.
Yeah. She's found the Lich King. It's beautiful. She found a phylactery and she's destroyed the Lich. Anyways, guys, hi. Hello and welcome to Disgorgeous. It's a podcast about wine. I've never said welcome before.
You say it every time, don't you?
I say, hey,
welcome to Disgorgeous.
Gorgeous. Oh, okay. I said hello and welcome because I'm nervous.
Yeah, okay.
Hi, welcome to Disgorgeous. It's a podcast about wine. I'm John McCarroll.
Well, you're acting like you had never said the word welcome in your life. Never. I think it's a German word, welcomen.
Yeah, willkommen.
I'm Kevin Diamond. Our guest today is Tira Johnson. You're at Illis.
Nope.
You've been on our show many times.
Related to Dwayne The Rock Johnson, is this true?
No.
Okay. Interesting.
No.
I got to cut, like, 20 minutes of bits I had worked on today. Shit.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. This is the first time we're not talking about Italy.
I know. And I was really happy when John texted me and was like, I talked to Tira and she's furious that these are the wines that you're doing. And I was like, cool. So she's on. Yeah. Great.
We like to make you mad, I think.
Have we had a non-mad reaction from anyone we've invited onto the season yet, really? I mean, there's been energy and excitement with a base of anger from some. People are like, I'm so excited to talk about how I hate these fucking grapes. There's been a lot of the response so far. Yeah.
I feel like we deserve it.
Yeah.
Like, we do things for everyone else. Also, we're sitting next to each other, just as a quick podcasting note.
Yeah.
We have not done this in the entire time we've ever podcasted.
It's a little bit too powerful on this couch. I would say.
Are you scared looking at us?
No, I have Dolly next to me.
Oh, that's true.
Can you tell which of us is which, or is it, like, a little bit like, ooh, like two Spider-Mans pointing at each other?
is gorgeous.
I think it's how many treats you've given her.
So Sauvignon Blanc, let's start there. How do you feel about this grape?
You know, I don't hate it as much as Cabernet Sauvignon.
Sure,
that's why
consensus vote.
So I was like, oh great, let's do these Sauvignon Blancs I actually really like from California. Mm-hmm. And I was like really excited. And then you were like
Riesling.
You really tried to trick us. You were like, cool, we'll do two Sauvignon Blancs. I was like, that's not
how it works. No.
Let's try.
You don't get to have fun.
I know. You're like, there has to be a cab. I'm like, does it really?
Yeah.
Like, we need to?
There has to be some medicine in the peanut butter. That's the way it goes.
No, but it's great because it ends up, the Sauvignon Blanc and the Cabernet are both made by two friends of mine.
Yeah.
So it's great.
It's going to be terrible when you hate both of them. Like, really embarrassing.
I mean, the thing we've come down to so far, we're doing, what, one more episode after this?
I don't know.
So, you know, I think what it comes down to is, like, it really depends on who is making this wine and why they're making it. And then I think, like, from there you can talk about anything you want, but like at the base of it, it's like, why are you using Sauvignon Blanc? How are you making that wine? Okay. Well, if those two things are good answers, then the wine's probably fine. But so often those two things do not have good answers to them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like they make it for the market, not for themselves.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. And it's like one of those things where perhaps that's not the grape's fault.
No, I want to sneak in here because there's a very good chance that the day this episode comes out, I've written an article and everyone's already yelling at me. So I just want to say, I love doing it for the market. I think it's great. You guys should all make a lot more money. And please stop yelling at me.
What's this article? Is this the one about
it's about California economics? And yeah. I feel like it's just going to be one of those, like, every thumb-shaped guy in wine, like, you know, calls me a slur. So, Punch.com/John McCarroll.
You haven't actually really stress maxed enough yet.
Yeah, I'm having a bad mental health week.
Preparing for it. Yeah, it's fair.
Also, I don't really believe in a market. Sauvignon Blanc is so interesting because, like, it feels like it's everywhere for some fucking reason.
Yeah.
Right
over the computer. Thank you.
People will go, like, not wine people will go up in there and say, oh, I love Cab Sauv. But, like, I don't really know a lot of people who go to bat for Sauvignon Blanc. It's just like, everyone's like, oh, it's here, so I'll make something out of it. You know, there's no one who's like, maybe Wine Moms. But I think Wine Moms like Cab Sauvignon too. Like, Sauvignon Blanc is like a wine without a country. Is this?
No, I think it's like, it's the interesting thing where Cabernet Sauvignon has become so associated with California because everywhere else it's part of a blend almost exclusively, or it's being drank under the name of wherever it is, but mostly because it's just Bordeaux. Mm-hmm. So, like, or Super Tuscan or whatever, but it's part of a blend as an identity of a place as opposed to like the star of the show. Mm-hmm. And then Sauvignon Blanc, because it's called Sancerre or something, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, it's less like the thing that people are calling out, unless I guess it's New Zealand
or us. I mean,
but it certainly seems that like more people are like going to say, oh, I love Sancerre, than they're going to say, oh, I love Sauvignon Blanc.
No,
people will say, I love Cabernet Sauvignon a little bit more because that means a place and a style and a grape to them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've had so many guests, you know, ask for Sancerre by the glass, and it's like, we don't. I'm like, but we have this other Sauvignon Blanc from this place, and they're like, oh, I hate Sauvignon Blanc.
Right, that's sure.
So right. And the thing is, they're so right
all the time.
Both. They want Sancerre, and they hate Sauvignon Blanc. They're right. 100% correct.
Especially when you taste like, and I don't hate Sauvignon, I don't hate Sancerre as much as maybe everyone else in this room. Like, I've had some where I'm like, okay, I get what they're going for here. I know John fucking hates it, but
whatever.
Uh-huh.
I said whatever.
Right now I'm at a point where we're teaching my son that like hate is a bad word. And everyone's like, he'll be like, Dad, you just said hate. It's like, yeah, but I was talking about like a wine I didn't like. That's okay. You can't say you hate Timmy. That's the difference. So now every time I say the word hate, I'm like clocking it for myself. But I don't hate Sancerre inherently, but I understand that it's become such a style that people are like looking for, as opposed to an expression of the grape truth necessarily. And when you do have Sauvignon Blanc, as we've had several times this season, that like breaks out of that mold and does something where it really like seems like they're promoting the best qualities of this grape, however that means for them where they are, I think we've had some really exciting wine. Yeah.
I had a dream last night where I listened to an episode of the podcast, and there was like, after every time I said something, there was a minute of silence where everyone was like, what the fuck did he just say?
That wasn't a dream, John.
You know, first of all, I want to splice in, I'm not going to, but I wish I could splice in stuff from episode one of Disgorgeous, which is just you saying, I hate Sancerre. Mm-hmm. Everyone who drinks it should kill themselves. Because that was you saying that.
I know, but that's a different me.
Okay.
We can evolve.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm curious, because you don't like Sauvignon Blanc, but you like Riesling, which does the same thing, which sucks. I'm just kidding. I'm having fun.
I love Riesling. Yeah.
Oh. Can you tell me what's the difference for you?
Well, I feel like I like Riesling across the board. Mm. I love Australian Riesling, Austrian, German, mm-hmm. Willamette Valley. You know, mm-hmm. there's really great Rieslings from everywhere. Sauvignon Blanc, it's really rare for me to like love one.
Yeah.
And the ones that I love are kind of like all over the place. Mm-hmm. I really love the ones that, well, Issa's that mm-hmm. we're drinking right now. I really love the Dominique Held mm-hmm. Sauvignon Blanc mm-hmm. from Germany.
Yeah.
It's like very jalapeno-y.
Yeah.
Sauvignon Blanc, it's like a rescue pit bull, you know? It's like, it's not its fault that it wants to like, you know, rip your face off, but if you put it in the right hands, it can be beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm kind thinking of. A lot about dog violence. Yeah. So this is from Issa. This is the You're a Dream.
Yeah, You're a Dream.
Mm-hmm. If I may tell a story, where I'm sitting right now is where I was sitting the first. No, I'm sorry, where you're sitting, where Tira is sitting, is where I was sitting the first time I tried this. Claire and Isabella brought a bottle, and we ate leftover pizza, and we were drinking a bunch of wine, and this got snuck into the lineup, and I was like, oh, holy fucking shit, this is such a good Sauvignon Blanc. And I have been thinking about what it means to be a Sauvignon Blanc specialist since then, because I feel like Isabelle is able to do that in a way that most people aren't. And so, I don't know, this wine brings back fuzzy memories for me.
I bought a bottle of this, not for this podcast or anything, a few weeks ago. When James is hosting the Monday night industry thing at High Note. And I was like, oh, I've liked the Issa wines before. And we're doing a Sauvignon Blanc season. I should try this. And I bought the bottle and shared it with a bunch of people, and everyone loved it. And then you suggested it like days later for the pod. I was like, perfect. I love this wine. But it's, yeah, this is doing all the things that like when Sauvignon Blanc is allowed to be like aromatically complex and full like this, mm-hmm. and not aromatically like whittled down the way like it typically is in mass market Sauvignon Blanc, I find it to be like an exciting grape. I mean, its aromatic qualities are really cool. It can do so many different things when it sort of tilts sort of tropical like this. It's really fun.
Phenolic ripeness is this thing that it's weird because you don't want to let these grapes get too phenolically ripe, because when they get to their ultimate state, the ripeness shows in like kind of weird ways. But if you catch them at the right time, you get actually quite beautiful. You get beautiful fruit, and like you don't really see too much of the greenness, but it's enough of a balance.
Yeah.
And how are your guests feeling with this wine?
Oh my gosh, everyone loves this wine. I would say at least so. This You're a Dream mm-hmm. I bought 3 cases of it mm-hmm. from you. Mm-hmm. And I've been using it as a pairing wine. And I would say every night there's at least one guest that asks me to write down the wine for them.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Good luck. You made like 500 cases. Yeah, you're not getting one.
But then I also have her other Sauvignon Blanc, mm-hmm. the Claire and Elise mm-hmm. one, which is a non-skin contact one. And I opened it for a guest who wanted a Sauvignon Blanc by the glass. And I was like, wait, let's open this one because I want to try mm-hmm. this new vintage of it. And I hadn't had it before. And it was really good. The person ended up getting 4 glasses of it. And then I had the leftovers at the end of the night. It was great. Mm-hmm. But she's really talented with Sauvignon Blanc. I really love it.
Yeah.
When I first found out what wine she makes mm-hmm. and she's like, I make Sauvignon Blanc. I was like, oh.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, sounds good.
Why? But now I know why. And
well, can we talk about why? Like, why? I feel like between the two of you, you know the answers, but I don't know.
Well, she likes Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah, well, sure.
That's yeah.
She's
yeah.
got a boomer taste. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, no. Well, she loves Loire Valley.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Like, yeah. Sure. So she did Harvest with Mose.
Okay.
And that's where I was like, oh, why don't you make Chenin Blanc? Right. You know,
yeah, something that's cool.
Yeah.
Something that's cool. No, but she really likes Sauvignon Blanc. I think she's really talented. I mean, she gets me excited about it.
Is she seeking out Sauvignon Blanc that she can work with, or is it like she's happened to find some that she could work with, and therefore she followed that? Like, do you know the answer? Yeah. And if you don't, that's fine.
I mean, I think for like younger winemakers, like you kind of have like you've got a wish list of what you want to work with. But
yeah.
It's kind of like, well, these are the people who are willing to get me fruit at a price I can pay.
Right.
So like, I think the circumstances are dictated to them a little bit. But at the same time, like if you can work with Sauvignon Blanc, then that's something that other people might not want to touch.
I think the economics of this has been the part of the discussion that's been so interesting to me so far, where it's like you have this idea of both for Sauvignon Blanc and for Cabernet Sauvignon, grapes that have outsized reputations that you can charge certain amounts for if you fit within certain boxes in the way that you make it. And you have like issues of like, because of all of that, like what is your access to those grapes? Like what is your access to Napa Cabernet if you want to make a Napa Cabernet and you're 21 years old, right? Like, no, you don't have. You cannot.
Yeah. Oh, if
no,
you're sir. Rich, you can.
Sure. If you're, yeah, right. If
Nepo babies,
yeah. If you're Ted Turner's grandson or something, you could probably start from scratch and make a Cabernet Sauvignon immediately. But, like, Sauvignon Blanc perhaps is a little bit easier to get access to, but I would still think, like, then once you have these grapes, like you have to decide, like, do I want to make money or do I want to make good wine?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or can I find a way to do both? Right.
I actually have, the scoop on this is, this vineyard, is found, basically by, she offered to help, the vineyard manager, during harvest. And he gave her a little bit of fruit. These are Alto Adige clones.
Cool.
And so it just kind of, she says, these just fell in my lap.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a cool way of thinking about it.
Yeah.
And these are her favorite fruit to work with.
Yeah. I think it's from the Ascona mm-hmm. vineyard, right? In Santa Cruz Mountains.
Got it.
Yeah. Cool. Which is great. That vineyard also has Chenin Blanc mm-hmm. too, that Jamie Motley makes. That's really delicious too.
So she could have made a Chenin Blanc.
Yeah, she could have made cool wine. This is fine, though. I mean, absolutely fine.
No, and I think this vineyard, the person who owns the vineyard, he has these 2 Great Pyrenees dogs, and they're, like, so magical. Oh, I want to visit.
It really is what they say. The dogs make the wine. It doesn't matter how you farm. If you have a shit dog, you've got shit wine.
Oh, that is so true.
Yeah. If you ever go to a vineyard, you're like, this dog, he won't let me give him any pets. He's like not paying attention to me. That wine sucks.
Yeah, you don't want an aloof dog in the vineyard.
No, uh-uh.
Yeah, this is a wine that's really interesting to me because like the one thing that it does that feels very Sauvignon Blanc-y is it's refreshing. Like
mm-hmm.
I actually kind of like cheap, shitty Sauvignon Blanc at weddings or like art gallery openings. Like, great. That just tastes like wine and it's over.
Yeah. The Amstel Light of wine.
And this has a little bit of this, which is like, I could trick myself into thinking this is like a healthy little like quencher rather than one of the worst things I do for myself. It turns out drinking is bad for you. I don't know if this is the first time you've ever heard that, but it's going to kill you, this gorgeous the gorgeous listeners.
Yeah. Which is all the time.
I mean, it's so drinkable, mm-hmm. and I think there's only like one glass left in this bottle already.
Yeah. Well, that's what I think is like so good.
Which is great.
Like interesting Sauvignon Blanc is like, it's hard to get rid of the drinkability of this grape. Like you have to really fuck with it. And then if you can just layer some complexity and some texture on top of that, then you're like, okay, this is like a completely well-rounded, ideal wine for me.
It tastes like skin contact McDonald's Sprite.
Oh, that makes me think of that vine from, do you remember Vines? Not grape vines. I know you might be confused because we're talking about wine. Mm-hmm. You remember the internet version of Vines? The,
like, oh, Vines.
6 second videos?
Oh, God.
Are you old enough for Vines?
Oh, yes, I am.
Okay.
When I was living in San Francisco, I had like a whole Vines account.
Yeah, everyone was into Vines.
I think it's still there.
Yeah, they probably like, still exist somewhere in the graveyard of the internet.
You have to find them on YouTube, like watch like Vine.
Yeah, Vine compilations. Yeah,
Vine compilations that make me live, and it's just like so depressing.
There's one I remember where like a woman, I think it's a woman, takes a sip of a McDonald's Sprite, and then like her eyes get wide up and she goes, "Why is it spicy?" That's it.
Interesting, Kevin.
I mean, Vines was essentially what TikTok is.
Yeah.
You know, where you're just making silly videos, but we didn't edit them and there weren't like cool filters and stuff. It was just raw, like 5-10 seconds.
Didn't survive.
Yeah.
Well, shame.
Yeah, it's because it didn't have the full backing of the Chinese Communist Party like TikTok does.
Right. So it was less cool. Yeah.
I keep forgetting. We're right wing now, right?
I can't remember.
That's my bit.
Your thing is.
I hate TikTok.
Wait, aren't they trying to like cancel? Did they ban it?
They have a year for China to divest from the company.
Oh, divest. Mm-hmm. That's right. All of America won't be using TikTok.
I love how they're like, so TikTok is doing TikTok is doing the exact same thing as every other social media company, except it's owned by our enemies. So it's okay for Facebook to do these things, but China can't do it. They're stealing your information and your brain cells.
Well, it's also like, you know, when I lived in Turkey, Wikipedia was banned there, as was Pornhub. And it turns out the entire country learned how to use VPNs.
Uh-huh.
So I feel like we're going to probably get around a TikTok ban pretty easily.
VPNs are all over the subways. Have you seen the ads?
Yes, for the mole guy.
Yeah. I'm like, this is where we're at. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Also,
big VPN.
Also, the Bible ads in the subway.
The Bible was the original VPN. I don't know what a VPN is. I'm going to be honest. I keep saying the word.
Have you ever used one?
It's to hide what you do on the internet, I think.
Yeah, we're right wingers.
I'm not that important of a person to like hide like what I'm doing.
Dog on the loose.
Good. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Do you have a Sauvignon Blanc by the glass at any given moment for the purposes of pleasing people who are looking for one?
No.
You don't have to worry about that.
No. I don't, and I never will have a Sauvignon Blanc by the glass because it will cannibalize every other wine by the glass. You know, so that's why, you know, if I do, it's going to be like a $40 one.
Yeah, right. So it's like
if you really, really want to drink this, just because of the name of the grape.
Yeah.
Because most people only know like 5 grapes.
No, 100%.
It's Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay. Mm-hmm. And they either love Sauvignon Blanc and hate Chardonnay.
Or vice versa.
Yeah. And then Pinot Noir and Cabernet Sauvignon.
Yeah.
And
we did an interesting breakdown with James last week about like the 5 flavors that people are looking for, basically.
Mm-hmm. And it's all umami.
Yeah. But it's like, buttery or refreshing or sweet. That's Riesling. And then either like light or tannic, and that's Pinot Noir or Cabernet Sauvignon for red. And those are the five flavors that everyone thinks wine is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So it's, you know, so people, and that, and, you know, and it's totally fine to not know about wine.
Oh, yeah.
But it's more like if you're unsure what you want.
Yeah.
And me playing the questioning game of, you know, oh, yeah, I'm looking for like a dry red. I'm like, great. You know,
they're all
like,
dry. Yeah.
Yeah,
what kind of grapes do you like? Are you in the mood for like regions and stuff? And it's like, yeah, I really like Pinot Noir and Cabernet Sauvignon. I'm like, cool.
Do you like everything?
Yeah. So like, like, do you want something light bodied like a Pinot Noir or something full bodied like a Cabernet?
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, it's, you know, like maybe like a full bodied Pinot. I'm like, okay, we're going to do Grenache.
Yeah.
I mean, right. That's actually, exactly what it is.
It's that's
right.
what they want.
It's so funny to me. And I wonder if this is just like a whole different conversation, but like you work at an exceptionally forward-thinking restaurant, right? Like an offshoot of Noma, like the, a restaurant that like your first course is like a bunch of stuff in a seashell. Mm-hmm. And you are still dealing with the same kind of questions of a general populace who is like, I want to eat the seashell food, but also do you have a dry wine that's not too sweet? And it's like, there's such a disconnect where like, they've obviously done the research in terms of food where they know like, I want boundary pushing stuff. I don't want to know what I'm eating beforehand. I want to like have an experience that pulls me out of my preconceived notions for food. And when it comes to my beverage, I'm like very afraid to say what I actually want. And I want to be really comfy in a box with it.
I would, it's, you know, we do have some of those people, but I would say the majority of the people are in for an adventure.
Cool. Yeah.
And we have people that love Sancerre, but they come and they sit down and they're like, yeah, I really like Sancerre, but I really want to try something different.
Cool. Yeah.
And it's and I bought two full cases of two different Sancerres. And I think we've only sold like six bottles in the last 6 months
of
being open, which is wild to me.
Yeah.
I thought that. That's why I got like a full case of each of them.
Emergency Sancerre, break glass in case of emergency.
Yeah. Yeah. Both under $200, both over $100, but you know, and it's really great. And people are just kind of want to put, because they don't know what they're getting or eating if they're getting the field guide tasting.
Right, exactly.
So that's why they're just kind of like, you know what? I'm in your hands. Cool. And it's great. And that's why, like, I love the whole wine team. Yeah. Everyone is just so cool about selling really cool esoteric wines and getting people into like different regions or different. It's really cool. And, you know, a lot of the sommeliers there, I really love California wine. I actually got Ramon, who's very big into like France and Italian wine. He's constantly selling Oregon and California wines. And then on his days off, he's like wanting to order them. And his husband is getting really frustrated. He's like, can we go back to France?
I want Chenin Blanc. God damn it.
I swear, if my fucking partner was like, oh, let's drink an Oregon wine tonight, I would be like, no. Get your own fucking apartment.
Oh, yeah.
You posted a day wine 2 days ago.
Yes, yeah, but that was my choice.
Okay, fair.
I'm just saying.
Day Wines is amazing. Yeah, there's such good wineries. And that's like, that's why the whole California list is all just kind of new wave, aka like a ton of my friends.
Yeah, bangers.
Like how I view California.
Yeah.
I think I only have like two Cabernet Sauvignons, and one of them is Matthiessen.
Should we, is that a time to switch? Because you brought it up.
Yeah, I've spent this whole the last couple of weeks thinking about how shitty it is to be a small winemaker in California, and you can all read my thoughts on it very soon. But one of the worst parts is small winemakers in California are making some of the best fucking wine I've ever had in my life. Like, it is like the know-how and the artistry that is just like in all these fucking waste case Bay Area lunatics makes me like furious. And it's just like, if they could afford a little bit of land, we would never need the Loire Valley again. Any of that bad bullshit. It's truly, we already have the fucking cure here. That's all I'll say about it. It's so frustrating when you taste shit like this, which is like, you can see the alternate history of, oh, America is a Garden of Eden for winemakers. Mm-hmm. And, oh, how much does fruit cost for them? Oh, cool. They have to like mortgage everything for 500 fucking cases of wine. It makes me insane.
Yeah.
And it's a problem because so many of them are like on the brink of bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Every day, mm-hmm. every vintage. And it's like, it's hard, but it's... But they're all like making such phenomenal wines, and I think is really changing, you know, how people perceive California wine. And that's what I want to, that energy's mm-hmm. over there. You don't see it as much over here in New York City. Mm-hmm. But I really, like, I always have some type of California wine on a pairing. And it's always, people are like, whoa, I didn't know California wine can taste like this or can be like that. And it's really cool. And then also all the different grape varieties. There's like Aligoté, mm-hmm. there's Cherube now, mm-hmm. Cabernet Pfeffer.
Which sucks, but yeah, it's cool that it's there.
You don't like Cabernet Pfeffer?
I don't
Pfeffer?
Like any fucking Cabernets.
Oh my God, no. Jolie Lade makes this Cabernet Pfeffer. It's
everything Jolie Lade makes is really good. I love them. Yes. I don't want to drink their Cabernet Pfeffer unless you have
a Sturm pudding. Cab Pfeffer is very good.
I sell it. It's a fantastic wine and there's great breaks on it, but I don't... I tell you...
What did Cabernet do to you?
It just exists.
Yeah.
Do you like Cabernet Franc?
No.
It's not.
Oh.
This is where our friendship bloomed.
Yeah.
In our difference of...
I have to be in the mood for Cab Franc.
Yeah, sure.
I feel like...
What's
just,
the mood? Like, angry?
A little goth?
Yeah, goth, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in a mood.
Yeah, I'm listening to The Cure and I'm drinking Cabernet Franc. Like, and I'm journaling. Yeah, that's like...
I'd much rather drink Cab Franc than Cabernet Sauvignon.
Understood.
Yeah, yeah. Agreed, but yeah. I still hate it. It's like, so I'd rather drown to death than be burned alive, but like, I prefer neither.
Speaking of drinking Cabernet Sauvignon, this is the 2019 Matthias and Cabernet Sauvignon.
Wait, can I interrupt for 1 second?
Yeah.
So one thing I discovered, I think I've done like 7 or 8 interviews in the last week with winemakers. And the big thing that I've discovered is that everything from like young winemakers in California should cost about $20 to $30 more dollars than it does mm-hmm. if they wanted to like have healthcare or like pay themselves. Like truly nobody is taking a salary like that. I feel very confident saying like,
oh yeah,
almost all of like the cool kid winemakers, you know, have another job or two.
Oh yeah.
So you are getting it for a fucking steal. So, you don't have to buy it from wine distributors. You could buy it from them directly if you'd like. And, if anyone gets mad at you, they can go fuck themselves.
Yeah. I mean, buying it like the direct to consumer
thing
is mm-hmm. really like mm-hmm. what helps them keep afloat mm-hmm. because so many people complain about the pricing mm-hmm. of the, and it's like, what? I'm selling it to you for $20.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm selling it to you for like $18, but then like at a wine shop, mm-hmm. it's going to be like $30, mm-hmm. $35 for good quality. Mm-hmm. And it drinks like it should be a $60 wine. But mm-hmm. people are like, oh, but I can get like this Sancerre for mm-hmm. $20.
Right. Yeah.
For $25. Mm-hmm. I can get this other Cabernet or, yeah. I mean, Cabernet is definitely more expensive.
Everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Everywhere.
Which is good. Yeah. Well, I like that.
I'm actually all for that.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Cabernet might be $100.
Like, you really love Cab. I'm like, great. Spend your money on that. I can sell you Syrah for like half the price. That's a lot more enjoyable.
Good God. Syrah's so fun.
I know.
Okay. But this is fine. Well, it's in our glass. I want to be nice.
Well, I think like the you sell the Issa wines, I sell the Matthiasen wines. So this is definitely an episode that's paid for by our bosses.
Mm-hmm. And everything we say, our bosses agree with.
I find Steve to be like one of the more exciting winemakers I've ever met. And it's funny mm-hmm. because he's like actually a very dry person. So like exciting is sort of a funny word, except that like when he starts talking about farming, mm-hmm.
oh.
He won't stop. He'll talk forever. And I get like, all of a sudden I'm hanging on every word he says as if he's like a famous person. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, you're just like a guy who loves to farm, who ended up making wine because that was the best way to use your mm-hmm. love of farming. And he's like done some, I think, very amazing things for other winemakers. But I think about him a lot because I think he got in. It feels sort of like he got in. He was the last guy to get in,
yeah,
in a lot of ways, because he started in 2006, I think.
Oh, wow.
Wait, really?
Yeah, I think that's when they purchased their estate. I'm almost positive. Don't quote me. And he, but before that, he was a consultant. He was a sustainability consultant. He was a vineyard manager. He was all these other things in Napa and Sonoma before then. So he was able to use all that to be able to put roots down in a way that, like, you could only do now if you were an executive at Google. And with that sort of power that came with this, he's checked himself a lot and made sure that he is giving back to the community of younger winemakers however he can. So whether it's like Lauren Bissell in Kanu, he has like taught her a bunch of stuff, or like let her like help support her with knowledge, whatever that means, to like outreach for people of color who want to get into winemaking, all this other stuff. Things that are really honorable and incredible.
He takes care of his employees.
1,000%.
And
yeah.
I went to it was like a seminar. I think it was before the pandemic.
Was the one at Cork Buzz?
Yeah.
I was there too, and Miguel was there, and all three of us mentioned this all the time, I feel like. Yeah. But it was the first time I ever heard someone be like, we talk about sustainability and farming, and no one mentions like whether or not you're paying your workers a living wage or a
He talked for like, a very long, like 45 minutes and talking about all the benefits and that he's always there for his workers and for the farmers farming the fruit. Like, you know, if they need to pick up their child from, you know, childcare and such, like they can leave and do that and then come back. Like it's
very much like base level shit, which is crazy when you realize that like saying that is like weird.
And that's why it's like, it's so expensive to live in California. Yeah. The land is so expensive. Healthcare, minimum wage, everything. Yeah. And these wines should be more expensive.
Yeah. Well, I also feel like, and I don't know this for a fact, but like he doesn't necessarily care about Cabernet Sauvignon, I would say. And in fact,
really?
he's like, when he talks about what he, like, he got jazzed over Ribolla Gialla. Like he he wants Italian varieties like Heat Refosco. Like he's like,
what the fuck?
That's the shit that he's growing and like geeked out about. And he's in Napa and Sonoma, so he also has Cabernet and Chardonnay. So he's like, and like these are his more expensive wines. And part of me feels like good. Like there are people who will pay $100, $120 for a bottle of this wine. And if that helps you like get your Ribolla Gialla skin contact and non-skin contact cuvées out, then that's worth it. Like one for them, one for me, maybe. He's a very good Cabernet Sauvignon maker. I don't think he doesn't care. I just think for him, it's not the end-all be-all of being.
That's his bread and butter.
For sure, no doubt.
But his passion is the... And I think it's really cool that he's able to do both.
When he talks about California, he talks about the reason he loves California wine growing is how many different types of grapes you can grow there. It's, so it's like that's the thing.
And you can plant any other grape variety.
Yeah.
You know, versus like if you're in Loire Valley, you can't just start planting Ribolla Gialla.
Sure.
Like,
right, yeah.
Yet.
We'll get there.
Because of woke.
Because of woke. But yeah, he's an exceptionally interesting guy to listen to. And like if you just type in his name and like interview, there are 5,000 interviews with him and each one is about something different. It's very, very interesting.
When are you going to let me interview him on Disgorges' Patreon feed, The Crush Pad, patreon.com/Disgorges, where you get an interview every other week that I have done. And most of the time, I get winemakers to swear. I'll say it. And they say really dumb shit all the time. It's great. I don't edit them.
You'll get them on there.
Okay, cool. This is the best Cabernet Sauvignon we've had this season.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. I actually kind of like this.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's good. Every time I have one of his Cabernet Sauvignons, I'm like, I wish I hadn't opened this. I wish I had waited 10 years because I'm always like, we're drinking the 2019. I feel like this would be great 5 years, 10 years from now. But
it's just balanced.
And it's just balanced. It starts out balanced, which I think is the key.
And it's not like tannic and doesn't have that. I don't know. It's really easy to drink, but still complex, but enjoyable.
Yep.
You know the thing boomer wine critics use? The phrase gobs of fruit comes up in like...
What?
Yeah, you can read a suckling review. Like gobs of fruit pops up, and
I don't read any reviews. Like,
yeah, obviously, Yeah, you can't really read those because he's just like.
Actually, if I were to read a wine review, it would be from both of you.
Because no, you
it would,
won't.
No, because it would make me laugh.
If I ever do.
I would find it entertaining. Oh, they're so stupid.
If I ever do a wine review, I've been kidnapped. Like, there's no fucking way.
Yeah, read the first letter of each line, and it's going to say, like, help me. Yeah. I am being held at. Pier 57.
No, the wine is red.
I think it'd be really cool for you to do like wine reviews.
Absolutely. I could not.
Just gorgeous.
Here's like 100 fucking points. Don't spend them all in one place.
No, no, but you don't.
For the Patreon, didn't we almost?
I don't know, man.
But maybe don't do a point system. Maybe do like create a different kind of system. Like a symbol, an emoji system.
Oh, that's sort of like, who was a serial killer?
Like a Zodiac killer.
Yeah, like a Zodiac kind of thing.
I would do Zodiac killer wine reviews where it's just like, it's an actual death threat against another wine critic. Like,
Mr. Wine Critic,
I'm at your house.
I gave you all the clues.
That's a parody, by the way. I'm not going to kill any wine critics. I would read your wine reviews.
Oh.
He's just saying that.
No, I mean, when I worked at Brooklyn Wine Exchange during the pandemic, I was in charge of writing all the little blurbs for all the wines and printing the tags and posting them around the store, even though no one was going in the store.
I imagine that's kind of fun. Like, it's a Sisyphean task.
Oh, yeah. No, I just don't really like writing. I'm really bad at grammar. I'm bad at English. I mispronounce all the time. I'm bad at English.
I'll tell you what, people will still pay you if you're a bad writer. I'm speaking from experience. They don't give a shit. They just want you to write something so bad that everyone will yell at you. Then they get the clicks. It doesn't matter.
I love your articles.
Mm. Okay. This is what John was fishing for.
No, I'm in my field. I'm kind of in my Drake era.
Oh God. You're going to drop your diss track on
me. You have some Cabernet on your glasses. I have Cabernet on my
glasses. These are purple-colored glasses.
You have a gob of Cabernet on here.
Anyways, what I was saying is, when I taste this wine, I can kind of imagine what people must be saying when they mean gobs of fruit. Because there is like a gob of fruit. Like I can feel like one globule, and I'm like, that is quite enough.
Mm-hmm.
This is balance. But like I can imagine like... the morosity that people require from Cabernet, and just be like, I can see it in my mind, and I say, that is not a good wine. Like, this is perfect. It's balanced with only a single gob, like a smack of fruit.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing where, like, what's happened to Cabernet is because it can give you a lot, everyone's been like, cool, let's see how much we can get out of it. And that's become this, like, signifier of, like, well, I paid $300 for this bottle of wine, so it better have a lot of fucking gobs of fruit in it, or else what did I pay for? It, like, people think it needs to be this corollary of, like, I paid a lot, so therefore it better be tannic as fuck, or it better be high alcohol, or it better be, like, whatever. I need a lot to come out of it, as opposed to, like, I think if I spend a good amount of money on a wine, I'm, like, hoping for balance and synergy and, like... And in complexity, but not like primary color complexity, right? Which is what I think a lot of people who love Cabernet Sauvignon and spend a lot of money on it, they want that like primary color. Like, this is red and blue and green's not primary color, but you know what I mean? Like, very simple. And they're not looking for necessarily gradients or something like that. Like, they want tannin, fruit, power, alcohol.
They want to be like punched in the mouth.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It's like they want the
I call
Power
them
Rangers.
I call them the Cap Daddies.
Cap Ooh. Daddies. Hell yeah.
That makes them sound so cool though.
Well, cuz when I worked at Hawksmoor, it's an English steakhouse.
I feel like there's a lot of DILFs who dine at Hawksmoor. Is that fair to say? Yes. Like, it's like DILF Central.
Oh, yeah. But I was like, oh, the Cab Daddy is here.
Yeah.
You know, who just wants to, like, throw $800 at something to feel something.
Yeah.
That's what fight clubs are for, man. Join a goddamn fight club and drink some Pinot Noir.
Now, do you smoke weed?
Yes.
Okay. So something I think about with California Cabernets is it kind of mirrors California weed in that, like, remember the hot take, like, everyone coming out being bad a couple years ago, which is like, I can't smoke weed anymore. It's like too big and powerful.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
all of like the most like
intense strains.
Yeah. All of like the yeah. most basement dwelling weirdos have been like crossbreeding and making like 98% THC. I feel like we see the same thing in a lot of California Cabernet, which is just like, you get the real enthusiasts just in a feedback loop making wine that no one else can kind of work their way through.
Mm-hmm.
And to the point where, like, to the people who like it, it's really good. And everyone else is just like, what the fuck is this shit?
Right. I just want to, like, yeah. get kind of mm-hmm. high and, like, play a video game. I don't mm-hmm. want to, like, question my place in the universe.
Yeah. Or also California's obsession with double IPAs.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It's all the same thing, yeah. It's like, that more is more mentality.
Yeah. This wants my a worst fucking nightmare. Terps. Mm-hmm.
Like, can I have a Miller High Life?
Finally, they've done it. The quadruple IPA.
Which is happening soon, I think.
Yeah. Dolly, you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
Dolly... You need some Cabernet Sauvignon. That's what you need. No, but I think, I don't even know if I finished Yuma does, this thought.
She wants a fight
yeah,
club.
Yeah, she wants a fight club. When I drink this wine, I do think like this would be incredible in 5 or 10 years, but I'm not, like when we drank the one that James brought, which was like, understandably, he was just like, I have a birth year Cabernet from Napa. Let's drink it. Let's see what's going on. While I was drinking it, I was like, I kind of like this now, but I'm positive that I would not have liked it 5 years after it was bottled.
Yeah,
it
exactly.
would have been undrinkable. And that is not true of Steve's wines. It's like you pick up the 19 and you're like, okay, like this could go 5 or 10 years, but also like it is balanced. It is delicious. It has acid. It has tannin. It has fruit. It has everything. It's complex. It's contemplative. It's whatever. And I can drink it now and I don't feel that bad about it. Even though it might be better in 3 years, and 5 years, and 8 years, whatever.
Yeah.
It's very much like the way he approaches his winemaking, which is like from the lens of a grape grower, which is, I think, not always the case in winemaking in Napa, is what makes this like a great wine. Yeah, a good wine. And different from like what we had last time with James.
Is he... So... Mathiasen is in like Napa, like on the floor, right? But he has vineyards kind of everywhere.
Yeah.
I have the Phoenix Vineyard mm-hmm. one, which is, I think, Mount Veeder.
Yep. And this is just like, quote unquote, entry level Napa. So it's from vineyards all throughout.
All
Napa.
Throughout. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Cool. So there's, in that way, I think he's able to dial in the fruit with higher elevation, lower elevation stuff. And that's he'll talk, great. And he, you know, he talks about also like, it's interesting because I think he's so forward thinking for California, but it's also, it's still very modern. It's not, he's not like a guy in the Loire Valley who's like, I just let the grapes do whatever and then I just make the wine however. He started at UC Davis. So it's like he has a quote unquote winemaker's idea of actually doing things.
Mm-hmm. Does he have a vest?
He probably has a vest. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I want a vest.
I know you want a vest.
Well, yeah. So, So what I love about these two wines side by side is that Liz Byrne-Boyle is the enologist uh-huh. at Mathiasen, and she's one of my best friends.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I was actually supposed to be see fish at the Sphere in Vegas this past weekend with her.
Oh no.
Because we've seen fish on 420 mm-hmm. for the last 2 years in a row. Mm-hmm. And this was supposed to be year three.
I guess that would have answered my question. Do you smoke weed? I could have just waited until you mentioned this. Is fish fun?
Oh my God, it's so much fun. I'm there for like the whole like show, the lighting is insane, and
the
visual.
Lifestyle as well. Like, are you like,
no,
would you follow them around?
No, well, no, 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 I wouldn't follow them around, okay. But I did see them 11 times in 1 year,
so almost once a month.
So, you had to follow, or are they all 11 times in one place?
They'll play like Madison Square Garden for like 3 weeks straight or something,
yeah.
So, it's
what?
Not that hard.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like really easy to
see fish a lot if you want to.
Well, because Liz, who works at Mathiasen, she was the one who got me into fish,
okay.
Because I was really anti fish because my ex was
yes.
really big, and then right. like we broke up, and it was almost like my big, like, fuck you to him,
hell yeah.
by going to a fish show, and I had so much fun with her.
Wait, that rules, actually.
That's so fucking cool.
That's so fucking
That's the
sick.
Best reason then, I ever heard to go to fish.
And then I was, like, in a box at New Year's Eve and, like, drinking Dom Perignon and, like, dressed in glitter and neon. It's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
Oh, man. I want to...
Like, that sounds like such a bad experience to me. Like, everything sounds so cool. And I'm, like, imagining being in that area and just, like...
It is the least John area.
I don't think I could pull it off too well. Yeah.
But you'd be
John
surprised.
Like fun very much.
I don't like fun.
Yeah.
Really?
I was just talking about it with Emily.
I like a little bit of fun, like microdosing fun. Like I like playing video games for like 15 hours and not saying a word to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's great for me.
Yeah.
I like going outside for like 25 minutes. I like baking the same bread recipe 4 or 5 times a week and then taking photos of the good ones and the bad ones just throwing them out.
Wow.
Ooh. Yeah, like I have a lot of fun. I have a great life.
I feel like I've reached that era where I've just been like my days off. I mean, I'm just like so burnt out from restaurant opening that I just love being home and just like watching TV.
Cracking open an ice cold bottle of Cabernet Sauvignon.
No, I don't even drink on my days off really. Understood. Except today.
Yeah.
I've been buying Polish beers.
Oh yeah, Polish beer. Yeah.
It's like, this is good.
Zweicheck or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, that one's good.
Which is not pronounced any way like
No, Polish. I know. I don't know how to say it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are good.
And it's refreshing and then you can have one of them and then you say
good night.
I don't need another beer. You have yourself a little pot of herbal tea. Go to bed at 10:30. Life is good.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's kind of like fish, I guess.
I'm going to take you to fish one day.
I will not go to a fish show. There is nothing you can offer me that would make me go. I literally
do you like mushrooms? You definitely have to.
I love mushrooms.
You definitely have to be like.
See, the problem is he wants to take mushrooms and watch videos where like people rate different kinds of animals. It's not the same thing.
That sounds so much fun.
There's a series that has like this trap hip hop beat, and it just puts different kinds of animals in size order. And there's this beat, and
wait, this is real?
Yeah, I'll send it to you. It's so out of fucking control, cool. And then And then the last one of those I watched, they did different types of fruit in size order, and it was so cool. So I mean, yeah, like a fish light show would be great, but I just want to learn about extinct elephants in size order. Like,
if they projected that in the sphere, I think you would enjoy that.
Oh my god! So
they have a sphere.
No, sphere.
Do you know about the sphere?
No, I don't
in
know
Vegas. Oh.
Oh, I would never go to Vegas either.
Oh.
Vegas is so much fun.
Vegas rules.
No, so it's this gigantic sphere stadium, and you're in there, and there's like projections
it's
all around.
360-degree projection.
So Liz and my friend Kayla, who are part of my fish crew, were there, and they kept sending me videos, and there was just this big dog on the sphere, like licking the sphere. Mm-hmm. And they were like, this would be so perfect for Tira while fish is like playing.
I saw that somewhere. I don't know who posted it, but I was like, there's a giant dog licking the sphere. This is amazing.
I'm like getting itchy. I don't know, man.
But yeah. Anyways, but Liz is an amazing. she's always done Harvest in California. She did Harvest for Jolie Lade and PAX, Mathiasen. There's a handful of others. I just can't remember them right now. But yeah, and she moved to California and has been, her dad has Cabernet vines. So she's making a Cabernet for them, but she really wants to start creating, making her own wine.
Yeah.
And she really loves Val de Guy.
Yes.
Yes.
California Gamay.
So good.
My first year working in wine, I got a bottle of the Hobo wine company, Val de Guy. I bought a bottle home for Valentine's Day, and I remember practicing this line that night, and then telling people for weeks after that I thought Val de Guy was the most romantic grape. It's not true. I just said it.
Is it Val de Guy or Val de Guy?
I certainly do not know. You said Val de Guy. I believe you because you're from California.
No, but I also mispronounce everything. That's
what do you
why
think it is, Kevin? I've always said Valdigay, but I'm also very bad at pronouncing things.
Californians yell at me whenever I say anything. So.
But also, Californians are known for mispronouncing everything.
I know. That's
like
why I
every
assume, like,
yeah. every town, mm-hmm. it's like a weird.
I'm like, it's called Chardonnay. Can we call it Chardonnay here? It's not a big deal.
Yeah, everyone's from like a Spanish town and it's pronounced like the most insane way. Like,
yeah. Protestant it's way. Spanglish.
Yeah. Santa Arsa. So I don't know. Valdigay or Valdigay. Someone write in. Anyways, I said it was the most romantic grape. I don't think it is, but I really like it.
I really love it.
I love it too. And I love it because yeah. I love grapes in California that you're like,
just like crushable and delicious.
And it's also like, why is it here? And I was like, we thought it was something different and we have it now. It's everywhere. It's cool.
Yeah.
We like it.
Like
when, now it's become one of us, which feels sort of like the California story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. Like there's a lot of different kinds of people here that came here for different reasons. And now for some reason, we're all Californian and we're all insane. No offense.
But like every grape variety in California. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that ever originated there.
No, right. Yeah. It's like
yeah.
there's mission here because of missionaries. There's
yeah.
grapes here that they used to make fucking shitty sherry with. Like
yeah.
because that
French
was,
Columbine.
Right. Like, why is that here? Who thought that was a good idea? Like, what are you guys doing? And then it's like, I don't know, but it belongs here now, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And like the whole Zinfandel, they're like, yeah, Zinfandel, that's the grape of California. And you're like, no.
Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah. I'm glad this isn't a Zin season.
Is that our next season?
No. We're going to talk about this off air, but I'm thinking either the Rhone or the Many Saints of Iberia, which would be like Portugal and Spain.
Oh, I love that.
By the local saints of every region.
Okay, that one sounds more like a you season.
That sounds like a thing I would be pretty into.
Yeah. I'm not going to help plan that one because I have children.
Okay. Well, they would love
but
to
But I'll pick out
the
all the oily white wines for the Rhone season if you want.
Okay, which one do you think sounds? Which one do you think sounds better, the Rhone or Iberian Saints?
I think that
the Rhone.
I'm really
a thing to it.
The Iberian Saints sounds really cool because mm-hmm. you're tying in a lot of different elements mm-hmm. in it, and I feel like I would actually learn a lot from it.
I think it'd be a great way to learn a lot about about saints.
But I mean, I love the Rhone, so. Yeah. Yeah. You're doing north and south?
Yeah, well, we would be, but it's also, we're coming into the hot season, and we always do this where mm-hmm. we somehow accidentally like have like a 15% alcohol red wine the first really hot day of the year. And I just don't want to we can do the Rhone.
But we're going to be in Spain. We're going to have some big red wine.
Oh, no, here's the thing.
No!
I just won't buy them.
No. I mean, that's the thing. Like, everyone thinks Spanish wine is, like, big, but there's so many, like, light, fresher styles.
No, I know that, too. I'm just saying, like, eventually you're going to have to include one.
No.
No.
No, you just don't. You forget to send that email. You just get six more bottles of Albarino. Oops.
We could just do an Albarino season. Oh. I'd be okay with that.
Oh. Mm.
Anywho,
okay. Also, I think, and now that we're three quarters of the way through the season, this was us trying to backdoor a California season, and we did. So this counts.
No, it's great.
Last time we tried to do a California season, we destroyed the world.
So. Yeah, there was a global pandemic.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So we snuck it in this time.
Mm. Wait, you did a California season?
Sort of. Mayafornia? What did we call it?
Marchafornia. Yeah.
We did two episodes pre-pandemic and then two post.
Oh, and like that was when you were doing the Zoom ones, right? Yeah.
It's the only, there's two Disgorgeous video episodes. One was from our wine club and the other was from that. And that is probably the most deranged Kevin and I have ever looked. And that's on YouTube.
It is, isn't it? That, the only reason, editing that,
mm-hmm.
because like, video and audio record at different speeds. It was the worst night of my like within the pandemic. There was a lot of bad nights, but like
that was the worst one.
I remember trying to get our mouths to sync up with the audio, and I think about 2/3 of the way through, I just stopped trying to do that.
No one's watched
the
whole
end
thing.
Of that. Yeah, no one's ever watched it. At the end, nothing is lined up. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful piece of artifact from a time best forgot.
Do you miss the pandemic?
No.
No?
Do you?
I kind of do a little bit. It's not like the actual pandemic itself, mm-hmm. but I think just having that.
Not having a job.
No, I worked through the whole pandemic, yeah, just nice, like just going to the beach, and it's mm-hmm. just been so chill.
You would love an apocalypse, like a post-apocalyptic life.
Yeah, well, I mean, I did go to wilderness camp for 9 weeks and learned how to make fire without matches or lighters.
So,
and I know how to survive
different kinds of knots.
And you could probably make a bong out of anything, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Okay, that's what's up. I'm an indoor cat. When the apocalypse comes, I want to be one of the first people to die. Like,
I'm going to make a bunker.
I'm like a survivalist. So mm-hmm. you would want me to,
yeah.
Unless you want to die.
Plead the fifth. But certainly, if I couldn't have my daily treats, I'd want to die. Like, I mean, like
plain Zelda.
Well, that's like the thing about. The pandemic, which was weird, was it was like...
We had all our treats.
Yeah, you could still get your treats. But your treat was like your 5-minute walk with a mask on to go get your coffee and then come back or whatever.
It was interesting. It was just like, it was almost like a simpler life. Mm-hmm. And it just wasn't as busy in the city.
Here's what I liked about it. My wife was pregnant. So she was real sleepy. And she would go to bed like every night at like 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I would drink 1 to 2 bottles of wine.
Cool.
And watch like 3 or 4 movies I'd never seen before. I like had like a complete film education. And I would be like, I've never seen The Third Man. Like, let's just fucking go. Let's do it.
All of us drank so much during the pandemic.
And my company kept, if you work for my company, turn off your podcast. My company kept just sending us samples and being like, drop them off places or something. We don't know what to do. And I was like, I'm just going to drink these probably. Okay, you can turn the podcast back on if you work for my company.
No, I was just like recklessly DMing, blackout drunk every night. It ruled.
Yeah.
Wait,
how I met Emily.
Wait, there was that weird app that it was like a party. Like,
yeah. Joined. What was that called?
I was on it with both of you.
Yeah.
What was it?
Field. I said
Field.
I don't know. Thrinder.
No,
it's a joke. Is it House Party?
House Party.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Oh, fuck. We used to do that.
I know. I joined in a couple times.
Did you ever play
All of Us?
Among Us?
Among Us.
It was like a little murder mystery stupid game.
It was like Mafia kind of.
Yeah, it was exactly like Mafia.
Yeah.
Ooh. No. Yeah,
that was the other big thing then.
Man. Yeah.
We should probably remember all these technologies because it's going to happen again. Any plugs?
Any plugs? I would say drink more California.
Great.
And go to your store and find a California wine with a grape that you've never heard of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's... that.
Because you're most likely drinking a smaller producer that's mm-hmm. trying to make ends meet.
Yeah.
And is making... amazing wines,
yeah.
And will also open up the world of wine for you.
Can I ask a question before we wrap up?
Mm-hmm.
This wine, we all like it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's a wine that you would ever buy, though, for yourself?
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's red.
Right, of course. I know the answer for you.
Yeah.
Because I don't think so either. But I think it's... I don't think that's any fault of this wine or the winemaker.
No.
I would buy almost any other wine from Steve before this
I'd much rather buy one of his Robola Giallos.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what this podcast is, so we drink wine we wouldn't ordinarily drink.
I know. Mm-hmm. That's what I think is so interesting about this season, what I've liked so far, is like almost nothing we've drank. I guess the Issa wine I would buy. Mm-hmm. I did buy. But like a lot of the, like especially the Cabernets, I guess, or like I never buy myself Cabernets.
No.
Sauvignon. So like, what does that mean? Like, what is it like to drink them? I just find it really fascinating.
I mean, I would definitely like when we were texting each other, mm-hmm. and you're like, there has to be a cab.
And you were getting so mad at us.
I was so mad. I was like, can we not? Can we just do like mm-hmm. Lady of the Sunshine and Issa?
So tight.
And you're like, no, that's too good.
It's too much
like,
fun.
You need to suffer a little. And mm-hmm. then you said Mathiasen, and I was like, oh, you know what? That's totally fine. Absolutely. But if I was, you know, going to my parents' place, and my dad loves, well, actually, my dad loves Saint Emilion. Mm. So.
Okay, that's cool. I like your dad.
Your dad sounds cool as hell. Yeah.
But if I had to like pick a cab for someone's parents mm-hmm. or for myself, or if I'm at a restaurant with a boomer and mm-hmm. they want to drink cab, Grenache. I would order this to please mm-hmm. them, and I would also please myself with it. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is if you want to buy from me, it's $59 a bottle frontline.
Okay.
But so that's on the shelf, like what, 80? Like
That's a lot of money, right?
That's a lot of money.
Almost all of his non-Cabernet bottles are significantly less.
And yeah, I think, what, like, they're like 30?
Chardonnays are beautiful. Like,
the Linda Vista is gorgeous.
Oh, that is a really good wine.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and I don't think that this is probably the best example of this that we'll have, I think. Well, we'll see what happens next week. But like, even so, and I think it's priced actually very well for what it is compared to like what else you can get here. And it's still like $80, like, I could get a cheap champagne for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wild.
And I always buy champagne.
I know you do.
Yeah. So it's like, I could get a bottle of Agrafar or I could get this cab. So.
I mean, that's like a really hard change. But
you could get both and make your own spritz.
Yeah. Oh, actually, that might be a good season.
A Cabernet Sauvignon. Yes,
yeah. I'm just saying. That might be a thing I start doing in the bonus episodes, which is buying two bottles of wine and pouring them in one container and then drinking them together.
That sounds like
making
great.
Wine suicides.
I think you've been, yes.
That might be a good idea.
Well, let's keep that on the back burner.
Iberian Saints.
Okay, Iberian okay. Saints. We'll do that. The Many Saints of Iberia. It's going to be like Sopranos. Yeah, like, stuff.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's yeah. Cool. That's clear. I was trying to figure out a Boondock Saints reference.
Well, there's a book about the Saints that I want to buy, yeah. And I can't buy myself a present unless it is work. So now I'll buy a book about the Saints.
Why?
I have mental health. I just, like, I can't get myself a little treat unless I can Catholic. Justify it. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now I can justify it.
Yeah.
Cool. And maybe I'll get like new pants for the season too, so I look cute.
Cool,
great. Patreon.com/disgorgeous is my plug. And also, have a nice life.
Great. Thank you for being here, Tara.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure.
Next time we'll do Italy again.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
We'll get you on the next
Italian. I think four episodes of Italy is a lot.
No.
We can join the Five Timers Club. Yeah.
Five times in Italy. Ciao.
Bye.
Bye.